Amen. Why don't we stand to our feet this morning? Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, want to join me in the book of Acts, the 28th chapter. I'm going to be reading verses 3 through 5 this morning. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. Look at somebody beside you and tell them, I got it. On the screen, we all got it. Acts 28, verses 3 through 5. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he, Paul, shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. I want to preach for a few moments this morning simply on shake it off. Shake it off. Lord, I thank you for your word, your presence. Thank you for these sweet, precious people that are here today. Ask for your wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and divine favor in this pulpit this morning. Order our steps in the remainder of this service today. Let your word have free course into our lives today to touch, to change, to bring somebody closer to you today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Let's put our hands together unto the Lord one more time this morning. Lord, we worship you, we worship you, we worship you this morning, Jesus. Look at somebody beside you real quick and tell them, shake it off. Shake it off. Lord, bless you. You may be seated. Amen. If I get a little loud this morning, Brother Kevin, turn me down. My voice will carry. It don't take much for this old voice of mine to get out there. Brother Kevin stopped by and surprised us this past week and bought some fudge. And my wife would come running through the store. I thought another shoplifter. You know, I was thinking shoplifter, you know. I was fixing to leave. Come up here, Kevin's up here. So anytime the sound man comes by and sees you know you got a friend on your side. You know, that's, I'm going to tell you what, when you're a preacher, you better have the sound man on your side. He can make you or break you. Amen. Back in September, Stephanie, my oldest daughter, joined a local youth volleyball league. The competitive juices were beginning to flow in her life, and the bloodline of the Clary and the Givens was rising high, and she wanted to go play volleyball, and so we went and got her in the volleyball league. And after a couple of days of practices and games and going on for about 7 weeks, there was an overriding thing that jumped out to me from every practice and every game, was that I kept hearing her coach say, shake it off. I going to sleep, shake it off. I was waking up, shake it off. I was, you know. And Stephanie is such a literal person. Okay? Something would go wrong and the coach would say, just shake it off. And so Stephanie would be out there and she would go. She'd shake it off, you know, just shaking it off. All the other kids ain't paying attention. She's shaking it off, you know, she's shaking it off. When they lost a point, shake it off. When they didn't get the ball back over the net, you would hear, shake it off. When they lost a point and the fans of the other team started cheering. You know, wrap your brain around that. You know, a bunch of 12 and 13-year-olds out here learning a game, and one does good, one does bad, and 40 people, grown adults, stand to their feet and cheer the failure of a 12-year-old. Just wrap your head around that for a moment. Just when you hear the cheers of 40 grown adults cheering your mess up, and the thoughts begin to roll through your mind, we may lose this game, all of a sudden you would hear through this huge gymnasium a roaring, echoing statement roll through there, just shake it off. I'll tell you this morning, it matters who you have speaking into your life. When you're going through a tough spot in your life, it matters who you're dealing with. It matters who you're listening to. It matters who you're paying attention to. When you're dealing with setbacks and frustrations and disappointments, you better believe it matters whose ear is turned to and what voice is speaking. I don't want someone standing on my sideline, criticizing me, judging me, condemning me, blaming me. I want somebody standing on the sideline of my life when I fall down, when I mess up, when I preach too long, when I preach too short, when I don't make my point like I should, when I disappoint somebody. I want somebody that'll stand up and say, "It's all right, Brother Clary, just shake it off and keep moving forward." See, you could have walked in at the end of that championship game and you could have watched Stephanie and her teammates accept their first place championship medals and you could have thought, "Oh, they must have had an easy path. They probably didn't face any adversity. They probably didn't have any setbacks." But the reality is the only reason they won is because they learned how to respond to the challenge. They learned how to respond to the adversity. They learned how to respond to the setback. They learned how to respond to the frustration. They learned how to tune out the noise coming from the competitors. They learned how to tune out the noise of coming from the parents of the competitors. They learned how to tune out that inward voice in your head when you start going through a difficult season in your life and you feel like you've been snake bit and everything you touch falls apart and everything you touch ends up broken and everything you touch ends up like it's cursed, and you start thinking to yourself, because we are some of the most superstitious people that there are sometimes, and we just start thinking, "I'm always cursed. I'm always going to be defeated. I'm always going to be on the wrong side of things. I'm always going to be on the side. I'm never going to be in the middle. I'm always going to be in the back. I'm never going to be in the front. I'm never going to get my breakthrough. I'm never going to get my miracle. I'm never going to get anywhere with God." We'll talk ourselves right. And you got to learn to shake that mess out of your life. If we're going to be the person that God wants us to be, we're going to have to learn how to shake some things out of our lives. If you're going to be used by God, blessed by God, anointed by God, favored by God Almighty, you're going to have to learn to shake some things out of your life, because what will happen sometimes, we'll look at people that we think are being successful. We'll look at people that we think are having breakthroughs and they're having miracles and they're having divine visitation and everything they touch seems to work out, and we look at them and we think how awesome they are. They must be that way, because they've never been on my road. They must be that way because they've never had my challenges, my setbacks, my dilemmas, my stories, my crisis, my nightmares, my problems. But in reality, every one of them have been where you have been at. It's just they chose not to spend their lives blaming. They chose not to spend their lives cursing. They chose not to spend their lives listening to everybody that had everything negative to say about their lives. They found an altar somewhere. They found a prayer closet somewhere. They found the presence of God somewhere. They found a word from God somewhere. And they said, "It doesn't matter what comes or goes. It doesn't matter what I face or what I don't face. I'm going to stand on the word of God and the promises of God. And I believe they're still yea and they are amen." Because every once in a while, you got to shake some things out of your life. You got to be willing to shake off the opinions of other people. You want to live for God, be used by God, blessed by God. You cannot allow the opinions of other people to control your happiness. Don't let the opinions of other people control your happiness. Don't surrender your joy to the opinions of other people. Don't let the opinions of other people control your destiny. Don't surrender your God-given purpose to the opinions of other people. I love you this morning. I appreciate you this morning. You have been overly kind to me and my family. I go in pulpits almost every weekend all across this country. When I walk to the pulpit, I tell everybody, "I'm not worried about your opinions.
I don't walk to the pulpit to preach thinking, what are they going to think about me? Are they going to like me? Are they going to like my title? Are they going to like my message? Are they going to like what I have to say? When I walk to the pulpit, the only opinion I'm worried about is if God approves what I'm preaching, if God approves the heart that it's coming out of, if God approves the spirit that it's coming out of. Because when I walk to this pulpit, this is all I got on my mind, is pleasing God, because His opinion is the only opinion that really matters within our lives. If David had listened to the opinions of his brothers, he would have never confronted Goliath. It is possible he would have spent the rest of his life on the backside of a hill somewhere, tending to his father's sheep, imprisoned by the opinions of his brothers. Who am I? Even Eliab. Read about him this morning. He's so tall, he's so strong. Even Eliab looked at me and said, I wasn't fit. I couldn't go fight. I couldn't do that. I wasn't qualified. And we'll imprison ourselves to the opinions of other people who think we're not qualified enough. Folks, I know I'm not qualified enough. We'll be imprisoned by the opinions of other people that say you're not gifted enough. I know I'm not gifted enough. We'll live in prison by the thoughts and opinions of other people who say you're not smart enough. I know I'm not smart enough. We'll live in prison by the opinions of other people that your past is too bad. I know my past is too bad. We'll live in prison by the thoughts of other people that'll say you don't have the right last name, you don't come from the right family, you don't live in the right neighborhood, you don't have the right background. I already know that. I already agree with that. It's just I take the opinion of the Word of God higher than I take the opinion of men. And if God said I can have it, then I'm confident that God will provide. You just got to shake off that imprisoned mentality that says I'm trying to please other people. A snake bites Paul, and everyone around him is saying he's cursed. He's guilty. He's a murderer. Superstitious people. This is who they are. They just come out of a huge storm in the middle of the boat, and they're ready to kill the prisoners and save themselves. And Paul says, whoa. Angel of the Lord stood by me this night. I've been fasting 14 days, and the angel of the Lord stood by me this night saying, if everybody stays in the ship, we're all going to be saved. They find themselves on dry land. Now a snake has come out and bit them, and they say, whoa, this is too much of a coincidence here. He survived the storm, but fate, vengeance, life has struck back out at him. He is not meant to live. This is telling you, this is a cursed man. This is a murderous man. This is an evil man. These are superstitious people. At the first sign of trouble, we're going to back up. Wait, maybe this ain't God. At the first sign of resistance, whoa. Maybe this ain't God after all. Paul had a dream to go to Macedonia. He enlists Silas to go with him. Silas, you got to hear about this dream. I had a dream from God. There was a man in that dream crying out to me, come to Macedonia. We got to get to Macedonia as fast as we can, Silas. Let's get on the next ship and let's go. Paul and Silas get to Macedonia. They step onto the coast of Macedonia. They start praying for people. They start baptizing people. They start having prayer meetings, and moves of God are happening everywhere. The Bible says a woman is walking behind them. She is possessed of an unclean spirit. There's a spirit of divination upon her. She is discerning who these men are. Behold, these are holy men of God who come to speak of us concerning salvation. She wasn't lying. She was telling the truth. But the spirit that was discerning, it was wrong. It was evil. And the Bible said Paul turned around, laid hands on her, and prayed over her. And in that same hour, that spirit was cast out of her. That's revival, isn't it? I mean, you're sitting here saying devils are being cast out. We're baptizing people in the river. We're having powerful prayer meetings. Things are happening. Paul, that was a great dream. You heard from God. The only problem is you cast a spirit out of a woman who was making money for a man whose job has now dried up and his money is gone, and he's standing in the unemployment line and he ain't happy about it one bit. He calls down the magistrates, has Paul and Silas arrested, saying they're stirring up trouble. They were stirring up trouble. The good kind of trouble. That's the kind of trouble we need stirred up in our churches and in our city, getting some things shaken out of our lives, some things shaken out of our churches, some things shaken out of our societies. They're doing the right thing, but now they're sitting in prison, and the Bible says they have been beaten, cast into the inner prison, hands and feet shackled to the wall. And I can hear Silas right now. Now tell me about that dream again. See, a lot of us at that point, we would have said, what did I eat that night? Was that really God, or was that some of that crawfish? Did it not get boiled all the way? What caused that dream to come into my life? Because we'll become superstitious sometimes at the first sign of resistance. We'll think maybe this ain't God after all, because if it was God, everything would just fall in place. There would never be a battle. There would never be a struggle. There would never be a tough day. There would never be trials. There would never be tribulations. I woke up the other morning and my wife and two girls had left and went out of town. And I woke up that morning to go to work and I looked out of my bedroom window 10 minutes before it was time to go to work. You won't believe what I saw. The front right tire of my car had a flat. I could have stood right there and said, obviously it wasn't the will of God to go to work today. Now, wouldn't that be silly? Well, I'm getting ready to go to church. Oh, look at that flat tire. Must not have been God wanting me to go to church today. Getting ready to go have revival, and all of a sudden the devil shows up and starts troubling me. Oh, you know what? Maybe this is a sign from God. I don't need it. It's almost like we're looking for the first sign of resistance to talk ourselves out of stepping out in faith and being bold for God. And we'll just talk ourselves right out. That's the way we are sometimes with people's opinion. We know we've heard from God about something. We know God has spoken. I can't tell you how many times I have preached out of this book and got to the end of a service and the end of an altar call, and I've had 5 to 10 people walk up to me and said, Brother Clary, you spoke right into my life today. God used you to speak into my life today. That's great. You don't need anybody else's opinion. You don't need anybody else's input. You heard from God. But then all of a sudden, we start getting doubt and fears and all these, and we start looking for other people to speak into our lives. Well, you know, God told me this. What do you think about that? And then they start looking through a carnal eye, and they start looking through their carnal ambitions. They start, you preach. You can't get up in front of the family get together and pray without shaking to death. You gonna get up in front of church and preach? That was me, folks. I heard from God. God told me to pick up a Bible. He's fixed to start sending people in my life. I'm fixed to start teaching Bible studies. What do you think about that? Now, it's good if you go ask him, but we'll go ask Jobo and Mary and Jane. And what do you think about that? I don't know. And the next thing you know, we're gonna run around till we find somebody else approving what God's already spoke to us. God wants me to live for him. And then we'll go run to family that's bound on drugs and alcohol, living in the world, saying, what do you think about this? God spoke to me. You think I should do that or not? And they'll say, I'd get away from that church. I remember 30-something years ago in another city, in another state, I had a bad experience at a church. And I'm just telling you, every church is like that. Because I had a bad experience with a car salesman 20 years ago, and he ripped me off, and I ain't never bought a car since. I'm still riding horses. That's the logic of it. Had a bad experience, so let me rob you of what God wants to do in your life because I failed or I didn't do what God asked. And we'll talk somebody because we're consumed with what everybody else thinks about my life instead of what God thinks about our lives. We are not living our lives to please other people. The only thing I ask my wife when I get dressed, because apparently I'm colorblind, not really, but apparently, you know, does it match? I don't care if it's the best looking. I'm not impressing nobody there. As long as you're happy with me and it matches, let's just go to church and have it. We are living our lives to please Jesus Christ. If you are living your life trying to please other people, you're going to live a miserable life. If your theology is wrapped up in pleasing people rather than pleasing God, you are already living a miserable life. You can get a people together. It can be 10 people. It can be 10,000 people. It can be 5 people. I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to please everybody. One of the biggest things I wanted to do when I started preaching, I wanted to make everybody happy. I learned after about the second message, 2.5 messages probably, I wasn't going to please everybody. I learned really quick. There was some folks that thought a message shouldn't be longer than 15 minutes. And then I had some folks who thought a message shouldn't be shorter than 60 minutes. I had some folks that thought you should have every word typed on a piece of paper. And I had some folks that thought a preacher should never use a piece of paper. That's just the reality of the way it is, folks. You cannot become paranoid by what people think about you when your heart is right and your motives are right and your spirit is right and you're honestly, sincerely pursuing after the heartbeat of God in your life. One reason pleasing people will frustrate you is because people are constantly changing. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What Jesus expected of me yesterday, he expects of me today. The love Jesus had for me yesterday, he still has for me today because the word of God is forever settled in heaven. See, you don't have to wake up in the morning saying, what kind of mood is God going to be in today? You don't have to wake up in the morning and say, what pages of the book is he going to tear out today? What pages is he going to add to the book today? It's like when you show up at work on Monday morning and you know you got one of those bosses, and every week or every month he's changing this. It's almost like you don't even know what to expect anymore. You get married and your wife expects one thing. 18 years later, she expects something different. Your kids expect one thing at 6 years old. When they turn 13, they expect something different. I'm not talking about my family. It's just coincidence. Those years match my family. It's the way life is. It's the way humans are. Laws change. Governments change. Institutions change. The moral compass of humanity changes. But the word of God is forever settled in heaven. It is the one constant in our world, in our life, is Jesus Christ. Peter ended his life with success, but it ended that way because he learned how to respond to failure. You show me somebody that's never failed at something, I'm going to show you somebody that's never tried something. I remember the first revival went and preached. I pulled up. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. Totally dependent upon the anointing of God. We went to pastor, we pulled up there on the church sign. It said, welcome our new pastor, brother and sister Claire. I thought, dear Lord, what are we doing? Every time God has moved, every time God has led, he's always led us to uncomfortable places in our lives. He does it because it makes us dependent upon him, dependent upon his grace, his mercy, his strength, his anointing. If God leads us somewhere where we don't need him, it may not be God leading us. I have made that statement now probably at least 5 or 6 times in the few times I've been here. And I want you to understand these overriding things that keep coming out of my mouth are there for a reason. God's trying to speak to somebody in this place. When you feel like God is leading you somewhere and you get there and you don't need God, I'm telling you, you're in a dangerous place. Man, them butterflies running my stomach every time I go to church. Whew. Like hundreds of them running around in there, those nerves, you know. Because you understand you're not smart enough, you aren't wise enough, you aren't gifted enough, you need the anointing of God. You're not just trying to impress people, you're not just sharing information with people, we're trying to move and operate in the Spirit. If you're just sharing information, just go to school and teach a class, just go start a club somewhere and get up and teach a lesson. But we're trying to move in the Spirit, work in the Spirit, we're trying to get a spiritual response, we're trying to deliver a spiritual message. It's not just coming and sharing information that you can gain into your heart and walk home and just say, wasn't that good information we heard today? We're trying to encounter the spiritual presence of God Almighty, and we need the anointing, fresh fire and fresh bread from heaven. Peter ended with success because he learned how to respond to failure. He learned to shake it off. He learned to let it go. I'm going to tell you, so many people struggle in their life because there's just some things they don't learn to let go of. Got to learn to shake it out of your mind, your spirit, your life. Got to get rid of it, nagging voice. Your current position is only your final position when you fall. If you choose to not to get back up. Peter, you've denied him 3 times. The rooster is crowing. You're weeping bitter tears next to the wall. You're questioning your anointing, you're questioning your calling, you're questioning your relevance in the kingdom of God, and where you're at will only be final if you choose not to get back up. I don't care where you're at today. I don't care what you're dealing with. I don't care what baggage you walked in here with. I don't care how bad you think it is. I didn't come here today to criticize you. I didn't come here today to judge you. I didn't come here today to condemn you. I come here to scream into somebody's life, shake it off. Shake the bondage off. Shake the baggage off. Shake the fear off. Shake the depression off. Shake the shackles of this world off. Let some fresh anointing. Let some fresh fire get on your life today. Stop blaming others. Stop beating yourself up. Stop letting the devil beat you up and shake some things off of you. Let Jesus start bringing some healing into your life. Stop bottling up that frustration and that anger and the disappointments. The hurt and the pain of it, and wrap it up, and it gets so strong in our life, it digs deep into our lives because we don't let it out of our lives. It grows, it gets worse, it gets stronger, it gets heavier. come to scream into somebody's life today. Shake it off. You've let the devil beat you up enough about it. You've let your friends beat you up enough about it. You've let life beat you up enough. You've robbed yourself of places in God. You've robbed yourself of victories and breakthroughs in God because you've refused to let go of some things in your past. And when the Holy Ghost is poured out on the day of Pentecost and that movement runs out of the upper room and they're by the thousands walking around saying, are these men drunk? It's in the morning. Who in the right mind gets up in the morning, drinks to this level that they're this drunk, and Peter stands up, and he didn't stand up with baggage, and he didn't stand up with pain. I don't believe he stood up with regrets. I don't believe he stood up with shame. I don't believe he stood up with guilt. I believe he stood up in a holy boldness of God Almighty and said, these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it's just the ninth hour. But this is that which the prophet Joel prophesied, that in the latter days I will pour my spirit out upon all flesh. He didn't carry his baggage. He learned to let it go. And when you get up in the morning, you bring your baggage with you to this place. You bring your hurt with you to this place, and you're trying to get somewhere with God, but your life is so suffocated with the baggage you're toting in your life, you need to shake it off. You need to let it go. Let God start a process of healing in your life. Another thing you got to learn to shake off, you got to learn when it's time to shake the dust off. Mark 6 and 10. And he said unto them, Jesus speaking to his disciples, in what place soever you enter into a house, there abide till you depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. You have to learn when it's time to move on. I want you to hear me these next few minutes. You have to know when you need to shake someone out of your life. One of the biggest hindrances I see in people's lives over the last 20 years of ministry is this right here. Well, Brother Clary, that's my cousin. I'm glad he's your cousin. Pray for him. But Jesus is saying, as once you've walked into their lives and you've told them about me and you've shared the gospel with them and you've tried to be a light into their world, and they have rejected it, they have refused it, and they have not received it. And now you're not affecting them, rather they're beginning to infect you. You got to know where that line is in your life.
I'm trying to live for God, and once or twice a week I go sit at the Lord's table, and 2 or 3 days a week I go sit at the devil's table. 2 or 3 days a week I go sit with the body of Christ, and I try to partake of the good things of God. 2 or 3 days a week I'm still going back to the devil's table, eating and drinking and fellowshipping with a bunch of unrighteous, unclean, heathen people, and I can't figure out why I'm so struggling so much in my life. It's because you haven't learned when it's time to shake someone out of your life. You have to be aware enough to know when somebody's drawing you away from God instead of closer to God. Stephanie's 13 years old. I figure somewhere in the next 15 to 20 years she'll want a date. I just need one amen. You know, when someone says amen, she believes it's gospel. I think I've made this statement here before. We used to say, date somebody in the church. But not everybody that comes to church is here for the same reason I'm here for.
So I've been preaching for years. You want to date somebody? You're looking for a spouse? Find somebody in that altar. Find somebody in that prayer room. Find somebody involved in ministry. Find somebody dedicated, consecrated. Stay away from the fringes. The Lord goes to Abraham and says, I'm getting ready to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, but I got a nephew down there. I got family down there. Come on, Lord, can't you spare the city? Understand what he's doing. He's interceding on behalf of the city. He's interceding on the behalf of his family with God. Abraham never picked up one time and walked down in the middle of Sodom and Gomorrah and tried to preach a revival, try to convince them of the impending judgment, because he understood. He knew where a line had to be drawn in his life and his family's life, and he just knew there's just some places in this world I don't go. There's just some, you know what, folks? Back to opinions. There's just some things my daughters don't do. There's just some places they don't go. There's some things their eyes don't see. There's some things their ears don't hear. And I'm not worried about anybody thinks about that. I'm not trying to please anybody else. I'm trying to raise my family in the fear of God. I'm trying to drive a very strong message here to somebody right now. It's because you got to know when you need to shake somebody out of your home, out of your family, out of your life, away from your dinner table, when they're negatively influencing your life, your children, bringing something into your life you don't need to have in your life. You got to learn. Be bold enough. Be brave enough. And not be intimidated and fearful of what they're opinion of you is going to be when you take a stand for righteousness. 2 Chronicles 18 and 5, therefore the king of Israel gathered together of prophets 400 men and said unto them, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And these 400 false prophets, they said, go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand. But Jehoshaphat said, he discerned, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides these? He could discern the emptiness inside of them. He could discern their lack of anointing upon their lives. Is there not another prophet here of the Lord besides that we can inquire of him? And the king of Israel said in Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. I'm going to give you some good teaching right here. When you're walking in life with somebody who says, I hate the man of God, that might be, you think about it, that might be a glaring red flag for you that you might not want to be walking with this person. There is one, but yet I hate him, for he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. I'm going to give you another little thing to live by right here this morning. When you're walking with somebody and the man of God can't find one good thing to say about them, it might be time to shake somebody out of your life. I will tell you, number one on the top of the list of why I am where I'm at today, why I have the family that I have today, because at the age of 18, when I prayed back through in an altar and gave my life back to God, I called every friend I drank with. I called every friend that I partied with. I said, this is what's happened. I've given my life to God. I want you to come. But if you don't come, don't call me on Fridays and Saturdays no more. You got to learn to shake some things out of your life. And you can't worry about what they think about it. You can't worry about what their opinion of you is going to be. You got to take a stand for righteousness and do what God wants you to do and please God with your life. Brother Kenny Carpenter pastors a great church in Maryville, Tennessee. I've heard him tell the story many times. They, as a family, they attended Brother McCool's church in Knoxville, Tennessee. Him and his brother were just a few years apart, and he said when his brother was 16 years old, Brother McCool called him in his office, wanted to talk to him. He said, I've been hearing about these boys you've been running with. And he said, I'm telling you, they're trouble. And I'm telling you, as your pastor, you need to get away from that group of boys. Now, see, that kind of stuff, you know, that don't go on anymore. We don't like that anymore, you know. That's the time we go find another pastor. It's the time we go find another church. Another time we, you know, God ain't using that man. There ain't no way. That 16-year-old boy got up, cussed out Brother McCool, walked out of the pastor's office and slammed the door. It wasn't but a few months later, Brother Baggett, that young man sitting in the car as they pull up to a convenience store to rob that store. That young man never got out of that car. Three of the boys got out of that car and walked in that convenience store with a gun to rob that store. Never had one intention of shooting anybody. Before they got out of there, they shot that clerk and he lay dead on the ground. That young boy sitting in that car
didn't do anything, didn't plan on doing anything, never thought it would reach. Isn't that what we do? Oh, it'll never get that bad. It'll never reach that point. They'll never influence me that way. They'll never take me to that point. They'll never corrupt me. I'm going to help them. They'll never corrupt me. But if you don't have a line drawn in your life, if you don't know where the barrier is, you don't know where that cross point is in your life, I'm just telling you, sin's going to take you further than you think. It's going to corrupt you greater than you think. And it's not as easy to get back as it is to get out there. That young boy now, for the rest of his life, sitting in prison without the option of parole. Wrap that around your mind tonight or this morning. Brother Carpenter says, I go visit him. He said, every time I go visit him, he said, he wants to see my keys. He wants to hold my keys. And he said, he always asks me, what does this key go to? He said, it goes to my house. He said, what does this key go to? He said, it goes to my car. What does this key go to? It goes to my boat. And he just sits there and he just dreams about what life would be like. It all went because he couldn't shake something out of his life. How many marriages have we seen destroyed? How many lives of teenagers have we seen destroyed because they couldn't shake something out of their life? How many churches have we seen become destroyed because they couldn't shake something? Judges, the 16th chapter. 3 minutes, I'm done. 16, beginning in verse number 18. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart. That's a troubling statement right there to me. Folks, sincerely, I want somebody, one person in this place needs to hear what I'm preaching this morning. And when Delilah saw, discerned, believed that he had told her all his heart, I'll only give the devil a portion. I'll only give the world a piece. I'll never give everything. I'll never surrender everything. I'll never open myself up to it all. I'm just going to give a little part of my life to that. But it's time and time again. What is it? What is it? What is it? And he keeps deceiving her and deceiving her and deceiving her. You would think after the second attempt, he might become aware of his surroundings. But he's so corrupt. He's so deceived. He's so delusional. He's so convinced in his own strength and his own ability. That red flag after red flag and warning after warning, he continually removes it. Keep speaking to the very thing trying to destroy him. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money into their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times. I will go out as at other times before, and I will shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Been doing it so long, I'm just going to go do like I've done every other time when I got in trouble. And I'm not going to shake anything off of my life. I'm just going to shake myself. This is what people do time and time again. And all of you folks have seen it play out. They get in trouble. They run in. They shake themselves. And they go back out and they ain't changed anything in their lives. Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and weeks go by and they're still living their life, still living their life. Trouble happens and they run back in. And they're just going to shake themselves for a momentary experience to try to get them through a temporary trouble in their life. And they don't shake nothing off of their lives. They just shake themselves and they go back out. And it's a repeating cycle within their lives. So much so that Samson said, I will do like I've done every other time when I got in trouble. And he did not discern that this time was one time too many. Stand with me this morning. God, I want to shake everything off of my life. I want to shake everything out of my heart. I want to lay aside every sin and every weight that does hinder me. God, I'm tired of trying to live in two worlds. I'm tired of trying to live and serve two gods. God, I'm tired of spending my life trying to please everybody in my life when I should be focused only on pleasing you. God, I'm ready. God, I'm ready to stop walking that close to the world. I'm ready to stop walking that close to Delilah. I'm ready to stop walking so close to that group. I'm ready to walk away from those things that have been corrupting my heart and my life. I'm speaking to somebody this morning. God is sending a red flag. God is sending a flare in the sky this morning. God is sounding an alarm in somebody's life this morning. God is blowing a trumpet in somebody's life this morning. God is trying to get somebody's attention this morning. Don't just shake yourself. Shake some things out of your life. Why don't we lift our hands toward heaven right now? Why don't we love the Lord for a moment? Why don't we thank Him for His word right now? We're getting ready to transition to prayer. Come on, let's just love the Lord for a moment right here. God, I hear You talking to me today. God, I hear You speaking to us today. God, I hear You speaking into my life today. These altars are open. Let us come pray today. Every church member, every visitor, you're welcome to come. Every guest, you're welcome to come. You've been living for God for 20 years. Great. Come find a place to pray this morning. You've been living for God for 5 weeks. That is great. Come find a place to pray this morning. Come on, let's come find a place to talk to God this morning. God, I'm ready to shake some things out of my life. Let your ear be heavy this morning that it cannot hear what the Spirit is saying into your life. Don't let your heart be so hardened that it can't be pricked by the Word and the Spirit of God reaching for your life today. Come on. Come on, somebody respond this morning. Somebody respond this morning. Somebody respond this morning.